Turn in your copy of God's Word to 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. It's in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, as I chase notes. Page 635 in the Pew Bible if you need it. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, or 635. Thank you, Sean. We're going to continue in our study this November of Thanksgiving. And today, I'm going to give you a reason for Thanksgiving. A reason for Thanksgiving. If you found your place in 1 Chronicles or page 635 in the Pew Bible, please look up. We'll wait a couple more moments. Page 635. 1 Chronicles 16. A lot of people don't go in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't preach out of 1 Chronicles. This ought to be interesting for all of us. Thank you. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do want to pause a moment. And as the choir has just sung, thank you. Thank you so much for your Son. The true reason for Thanksgiving. Help him to shine forth. Help your word to lighten and enlighten us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read, as we are wont to do, a few verses and see what God is trying to tell us. Now, you've got to understand what's going on in 1 Chronicles here. There has just been a major victory in the life of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant has been recovered and is brought back to Jerusalem. And there's this huge celebration because their enemies, I believe in this case the Philistines, have been conquered at last. And the Ark, the symbol of God, is returning to God's holy city. David is the king and a mighty man of valor. And he does something unusual. David was not just a king, you remember, but the Bible tells us a few things about him, that he was a man after God's own heart. And as characteristic of King David, instead of offering praise to himself, instead of having a gigantic parade and having the people see the generals and the mighty men, he dashes off a poem, as it were, a song to be sung, and he gives it to Asaph, and he says, let's sing this. Let's sing this. This is the fruit of David's labor. And this is what happens. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His deeds known among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing songs to Him, talk of His wondrous works. The first thing I want you to see is David gives public notice. The reason for Thanksgiving, folks, is to give public notice. It's all well and good to be thankful in our daily lives and to have a heart of thankfulness and to be humble and to be quiet. There comes a point in time where we've got to give public notice about what God has done for us. We've got to let people know, you know, God has been so good to me. And He has. Now, I count myself among this group. I could have skipped a few meals and been okay, but I don't think any of us, if you have skipped a meal because you didn't have the money, see me after church and we'll do something about it, okay? Yeah, there's very many of us that have skipped a meal for lack of funds. We live in a wonderful country and we're all so blessed beyond measure. We have not lost a meal. We have not, by and large, lost livelihood. We're still making it, some with less and some with more, but we're blessed. And instead of sitting like Scrooge McDuck, you know who he is, and counting our little gold coins, as it were, we need to be more publicly thankful of what God has done for us. Just this past Thursday and Friday were two very important days. What was Friday? Anyone? Okay. Very good. What was Thursday? What? The day before Veterans Day. Anybody else know besides Kim? You guys should. Marine Corps birthday, yes. Marine Corps birthday. I forget how many years, but up until the day he died, Dad claimed to have been there for every one of them. Anyway. That is a cause for thankfulness that Marines, in addition to our other veterans, have been willing to sacrifice their lives, their time in service to this country, and some have made the ultimate sacrifice in giving their full measure, their life. We publicly notice them. We publicly praise them, and we should. But remember, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God came down and gave His life for us. We need to publicly thank Him. We need to publicly tell others about Him. Let's look at this in verses 7 through 9 and discover what David causes the people to do. First of all, in verse 7, he directly delivers it. Excuse me. He gets it in the hands of Asaph and his brethren so that there is no loss in transmission. There is no question about what we're going to do. It's important. I've directed it to the hands of the people, the chief musicians, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to praise God. Has God directly delivered anything to us today? He's delivered His Word. He's delivered us a command to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, which is a form of praise. You can't preach the gospel, folks, without having it impact your life and without having had it impact your life. Think about where you would be without the gospel. You would be on the road to an eternal time in hell. And yet, God has directly delivered to us this wonderful message, and we're to be publicly thankful. Verse 8, He gives us a specific purpose. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His deeds known to the peoples. Do you think God wants to be known and made known to people? Yes. Yes. He is the Lord God. And later on in this hymn of praise, this psalm of praise, we will see David extol the virtues of the mighty God he serves, the mighty God we serve. So it's for a specific purpose. In verse 9, we're given certain directions. Sing songs to Him, talk of His wondrous works. Now, there's a musical term called a cappella. Who knows what that means besides Lisa or Kim or any musician? No musical accompaniment. Does that mean with no musical accompaniment that there are no words, that you just stand there with your mouth open? To make music, to sing or to speak the praises of God, there has to be an utterance. God has given all people at all times a directive to sing His praises, to speak of Him, to have His name ever on our lips. We're given certain directions. We're to be continually focused on the one who delivered us. You say, but I've got other stuff I've got to do, and it's hard, and it's difficult. Yes, it's hard, it's difficult. The world tries to crowd in. The world tries to interfere. The world has given us amusements. I love to talk about sports. Some of you guys know that. I was talking with some of you about the football game. Love to talk about that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But where should our focus be? Not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're given to praise the one who redeemed us. So public notice is to be given. Secondly, in verses 10 through 12, we're directed to have, as part of our reason for thanksgiving, a private study. Look at verses 10 through 12. Going on in the psalm, David has them sing, "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of the people rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth." Now, hold that in verse 12. Second, the judgments of His mouth. We'll get to that. We're to have a private study time. Again, the world likes to crowd our lives with things that don't matter. Does it really matter what the score of the ball game was yesterday or what it will be today? Does it matter who wins on whatever show you happen to like? Does it matter what House does this week or next week or whenever it is? I don't even watch the thing. Does it matter? And yet we attach importance to that. We attach importance to having time with the TV. We attach importance to having time with the top 20 or the top 40. We attach importance to having time with things. And we don't attach importance, the most important time, to have time with God. God calls us to private study for specific reasons. Number one, verse 10, for His glory. When's the last time you have, or I have, got to put myself in this place, taken time to think about the glory of God and to glory in Him? When's the last time? We like to think about our accomplishments. If you're a parent, a grandparent, we certainly like to think about the accomplishments of our children and our grandchildren. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what about the one who made us, who made them? When's the last time we have said, "Oh Lord, You are magnificent, and I fall before You on my face, and I give You the honor and the glory, and God, please use me. Use me. Take my life and let me be a glory for You." When's the last time we have acknowledged the awesome power of our Creator and been thankful? I mentioned today in the, and I don't like to quote myself, but I mentioned today, God owes us nothing. We are the creature. We are not the Creator. He owes us absolutely nothing, and yet He gives us everything. Everything. He's given us a beautiful planet to live in, and in my opinion, North Carolina is the garden spot of the world. I'm prejudiced, I admit it. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. Perfectly suited for us. He's placed us as citizens of the United States in one of the greatest countries in the world. Now, we make mistakes, don't we? We sure do. Missteps all the time. But still, When's the last time we've said, God, you are so wonderful and you are so great, and I glory not in the accomplishments of my country, not in the accomplishments of my family, not in the accomplishments of my state, but I glory in the accomplishments of you. Thank you, God. Private study gives you that time. Soak in His Word. Read His marvelous Word. Let it become a part of you. Communicate in prayer with your Heavenly Father. We're to glory in verse 10. In verse 11, we're to seek. Look what it says. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. When you go to seek something, it takes an action, doesn't it? If I'm going to go see Ladd and Teresa today, I'm going to hop in my car and I'm going to hopefully know where they live and I'm going to drive there. Now, let's say I hop in my car and I just start randomly driving. Am I going to ever find them? It's possible. I mean, Goldsboro is not huge. It is possible. But isn't it better if I go with a plan in mind? If I don't know exactly where they are, if I have a GPS and I go straight to their place, I've got to actively seek them out. Seeking is not a passive thing. If you seek the Lord, you have to be diligent about it. You can't just expect to come in on Sunday morning, walk in, and boom, there's God, and He's just been waiting here to meet you. You've got to actively go seek Him. How do you seek Him? Prayer. How do you seek Him? Study His Word. It's the roadmap. It is God's positioning system. Holy Bible. Isaiah 55:6 reminds us, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I guarantee you, if you start walking with the Lord and toward the Lord, He will be near. He will be near. In your private time, glory in the Lord. In your private time, seek the Lord. And verse 12, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders, the judgments of His mouth. Why did David say remember His judgments? It's an interesting thought there. Did that ever jump out at you? Remember His judgments? In Psalm 119, several places David writes, I delight in the law of the Lord. Wow, why would we do that? Because God is ultimately good. God is ultimately just. And we have escaped, in large measure, His judgment on us by putting our faith in Him. So we remember His judgment as something that has passed over us. As the death angel passed over the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, we remember, thank you, God. Thank you that your judgment has passed over, not because I'm a good person, but because you are good and I have trusted in you. In your private study, glory God, glorify God. Seek Him. And remember, in verses 13 through 23, we're not going to read all of it, but there's a purpose stated, a purpose stated. David writes, O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Verse 14, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Verse 15, pay special attention. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. The purpose stated for Thanksgiving, the reason is the children of Israel, in this case, were a covenant people. What is a covenant? A covenant is a promise. A promise. Yesterday we had a marriage. Yeah? And I'm sure Pastor Medlin said something about it being a covenant between two people. And he probably discussed how the ring is an everlasting symbol of love between a man and a woman, and how God has a covenant with His people. You see, while we're not part of the covenant as far as claiming the land of Israel, we are part of the covenant of God's love. Because God promised to bring a deliverer out of the seed of Israel. And He promised that not only would they be free of bondage from the earthly masters, first with Babylon and all those, on up into Rome that conquered them, but they would be free of the bondage of sin. That, ladies and gentlemen, that covenant for 1,000 generations, the Bible says, and that's the same as saying forever, that is part of the covenant that we share. God's promise. If I were to have you pull out a $1 bill, if any of you actually had one in today's economy, it would say something about legal tender. It would have a promise, a covenant, that this is backed with the full faith and authority of the U.S. government. Anybody know how much a dollar is worth today, backed by the full faith and authority of the U.S. government? I believe it. What is the promise of God worth, backed by the full faith and authority of Him? It's solid. It's forever. God told the children of Israel, they are a covenant people. God has told us, while we are not part of the promise of the land, we have a part in the covenant if we believe in Him. We have an everlasting promise. Trust in me and I will deliver you. That, my friend, you can take to the bank. The purpose stated, first of all, we're to have the reason for thanksgiving because we too are a covenant people. In verses 19 through 22, we see that while they are a special people, we too are a special people. David writes, excuse me, "When you were few in number, indeed very few, strangers in it, that is the land, when they went from one nation to the other and from one kingdom to the other, to another people, He permitted no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, 'Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm.'" God's protection was on the children of Israel. God protects us too. Look at where we are. We're in the United States of America, in the very buckle of the Bible Belt, and we are free to assemble. We're free to praise God. We're free to sing His praises. We're free to worship. We could go out and go to Walmart and buy as many copies of God's Word as we want. It hasn't always been the case in the rest of the world that you can do that. We are a very protected, a very pampered, and a very loved people. We're a special people. What are we doing with this specialness? What are we doing with God's Word? Are we harboring it? Are we holding it in our hearts for no one? Or are we spreading it? You have to realize that, as David said, it's not because of our specialness that we are a special people. It's because God is so special. I think David was thinking back to Deuteronomy 7 through 9, where Moses proclaims this to them: "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more numerous than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know the Lord your God, He is God. the faithful God who keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Back in 2003, there was a song by a group called Casting Crowns. Some of you may know, "Who am I? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to know my worth?" Who am I? Who am I? Very profound song. Very profound thought. Who are we? Who are we? We're not anything special. We're not anything that would be redeemable to anyone but God. Yet, He loves us. He loves us. He loves us so much, He sent His Son to die for us and for the whole world. If you were listening to Children's Moment, Amy made this point very clear. God loves every one of us. He loves us no matter what. He loves us when, frankly, we're pretty unlovable. Who are we? We are a people that God loves. And we need to tell others of that love. We're a special people. In verse 23, that leads us to the conclusion that we should be a praising people. A praising people. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Sing to the Lord. Proclaim His salvation. Don't sit in a corner quietly reading your Bible and praying and just hoping someone will notice. Sing out loud. Praise out loud. Proclaim His salvation out loud. Our purpose stated for Thanksgiving, and in verses 24 through 36, we see the power displayed. The power displayed. Declare His glory, verse 24, among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all small g gods. For all the small g gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. There are three reasons that God displays His power. There are three reasons that we are to go in His name. Verses 24 through 26, He alone is God. He alone is God. There are thousands upon thousands of self-help books, thousands upon thousands of ways you can get there from here and be a better person and a better you in 25 easy steps and 9 easy payments. But you've got to realize that God alone is God, and He alone is worthy of attention, your praise, your admiration, and your devotion. The basis of the children of Israel's devotion and worship was supposed to be Jehovah God. They had a thing called the Shema Yisrael, or it was also called just the Shema. And it's found in Deuteronomy 6:4-7, and it was what was recited every Sabbath day, and it was recited every other day. And this is what they were to recite and to keep in mind always. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Does this sound familiar? With all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The power God displays is not so that he can be on some cosmic ego trip, because God is God. The power he displays is to let us know that God alone is God. He is worthy of our praise, our worship, and our attention. In verses 27 and 28, we see that he alone is strength. He alone is strength, and that is a cause to be thankful. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, all families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Our God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. When you don't know where to turn, he's there. When you don't know what to say in that sad situation or that happy situation, he's there. How can I tell someone about him? I don't know what to say. God is your strength. He gives you what you need when you need it. Rely on him and him alone. The power displayed, a reason for thanksgiving. He alone is God. He alone is strength. And in verses 29 through 36, and I'm not going to read it all, but read it sometime on your own. He alone is to be worshipped. What are we worshipping today? Some of us right now, frankly, might be worshipping our stomach. We're thinking about what we're going to do for lunch. Some of us might be thinking about what's in the week ahead. We're worshipping that specific day or that specific event of what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what we're going to see. Our God alone is worthy of our attention and our praise and our worship. The reason for thanksgiving, to give public notice, to have a time of private study, to know what our stated purpose is for being on the earth. And by the power displayed through God and in our lives, to worship him because he alone is God, he alone is our strength, and he alone is to be worshipped. Comes to play our hymn of invitation, hymn 478. In this time of thanksgiving, what is your focus? What is my focus? What are we thinking about? What are we listening to? If you let it, the cries of the world, the cries of your own need that you think is a need, will drown out the clear and ever-present voice of God. If you have a need, get it settled today. Please stand and sing hymn 478.